this morning, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and have your sword ready as we jump back into our series. And that is discerning the will of God. This brings this series to a close. I hope it's been helpful so far. I'm going to give you four more this morning. I promise I won't keep you here till 2 p.m. But there's more to consider. So the whole topic of biblical decision-making. The great aim of the Christian is to not only know God, but to do His will. We are to look carefully how we walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of our time because the days are evil, Ephesians 5:15-17. We are to try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord, Ephesians 5:10, and do so in the midst of a life that is full of countless decisions. Some are small decisions with maybe very few or no real ramifications, but some are very big decisions. Interesting that there's been a big decision made on our Supreme Court. Life is full of decisions, and we need the Lord's wisdom. And life is full of trials and difficulties. Even more so do we need God and His direction to navigate through life, and to do so in a dark and evil world, when also time is short, as Paul says there in Ephesians. We are to discover God's will. We are to please the Lord in our decisions. We are to follow biblical principles and guidelines that the Lord has already revealed to us in His Scripture. Your sword of the Spirit that you have, it's either open or it's on your phone. I guess that's a small sword of the Spirit if it's on your phone. But God's revealed to us what we need to live life in His sufficient word. It's a lamp to our feet and it's a light to our path. And so certainly, as I've emphasized before, the will of the Lord is to know His revealed will and to do it. That is His will. And then Joshua 1:8 says our way will be successful. We will have our path straight if we heed the Lord and we follow Him and we trust Him. As Kevin DeYoung had said, expecting God to reveal some hidden will of direction is an invitation to disappointment and indecision. And I might add another D word, to disaster as well. We need to put away all of those things that we discuss, that is from studying the cloud formations to discern the will of God, to looking for secret divine signs, examining our circumstances to reveal to us somehow the mysteries of God, testing God somehow with a Gideon's kind of fleece, expecting that any open door in our life is confirmation that that's the will of God, or trusting our own impressions and our feelings and the hunches that we have to be the will of God in certainty. We have to put away these kinds of approaches to discerning the will of God and put on solid, trustworthy, wisdom-saturated, God-honoring biblical directions that help us to live out the will of God and to discern the will of God in our life. So let me go through all of them so far. So this will be the one morning you get all of them at once. And the first was to follow the explicit commands of Scripture. Should be the most obvious, right? What God has told us, what He's commanded us directly, it clearly is the will of God for us. And sometimes that could be some of the hardest things to do, is the things He's clearly commanded us to do, and that is His preceptive will. And some of these things He has told us repeatedly through Scripture. So if you miss this one, you really miss the most important part of decision-making. We are to follow the commands of Scripture. And I've given caveats to this. There are certain commands in Scripture, in the Old Testament in particular, that are not for us. But even then, there are still principles that we learn from them that we can apply to life. Joshua 1:8 says, be careful to do according to all that is written in the Word. The second direction was to discover the timeless principles embedded in Scripture. This may take a little bit more work, a little bit more digging. God has given us truths about him, truths about us. He has revealed his will. He's revealed the way of wisdom in all of God's counsel from Genesis to Revelation. We learn from the law to the prophets. We learn from the wisdom literature to the book of Acts to Philemon. You remember Philemon? You've forgotten Philemon. There's so much to learn from God's word that affects how we live and does help us to make God-honoring, wise decisions in life. Even in reading the book of Revelation, you will be blessed. All of Scripture is what? Profitable, right? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6, all these things, referring to the Old Testament, took place as examples for us. Yes, for the church. The Old Testament even is still for the church. And we should be mining its truths and being blessed by it. The Bible offers insight into all of our life so that we make God-honoring, wise decisions. The third principle was ask God for wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. Pray. Bring it before the Lord. James 1, verse 3, if any of you lacks wisdom, and we should probably all be saying, amen, yes, we lack wisdom. Let him ask of God, and God gives generously. Wisdom to know how to even faithfully apply the word of God. We may know what it says, but we need wisdom in order to rightly apply it. We need even the grace that enables us to apply what he said. We need to pray. We need to ask the Lord for help and for direction and wisdom in making decisions in life. So we depend upon God, not only relying upon his written word, but we depend upon him through prayer. And prayer is that great fruit of humility, because we come to God asking for help. We come to him admitting we don't understand, that we need his wisdom and his direction, his enabling grace. A fourth direction is to keep a clear conscience. To keep a clear conscience. Cultivate a biblically informed and, I added, sensitive conscience as well. We probably, again, live in a world where we have a conscience that maybe is undersensitive. It's used to so much. And it's hard in our world to keep a sensitive conscience, but we should strive to do that. More than that, a biblically informed one. Our conscience is not infallible. It needs God's revelation and direction. We are not to move ahead in decision-making if we think something would be a sin against the Lord. We are to follow the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 1:5, who said, "The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith." Here's a fifth direction we looked at last time. Seek godly counsel, especially within your own church. There is wisdom, Proverbs says, in seeking a multitude of counselors. There is wisdom in seeking someone else's perspective than just your own. Not trusting your own perspective to always be so right. Remember Charles Bridges? Wisdom is in self-distrust. Learning that you can't trust yourself as well as you thought you could. And you seek counsel from others. More than that, God has providentially placed people in your own life here in your church to be a help to you in your life. So don't seek a fleece, seek a friend. Seek a godly friend. Seek someone who may disagree with you, who may have a different perspective than you. What a blessing I know that's been in my life, having people who disagree with me. And I'm glad they did. Seek an elder. Seek a pastor. Cultivate humility and have a teachable spirit as you make decisions. And by the grace of God, be spared many bad decisions in life. Hebrews 3, verse 13 says, but exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today. And as far as I know, today is still today. Exhort one another every day that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Let me give you four more this morning. Number six is do your homework. Does it sound like mom years ago? High school? Do your homework, right? Can I go out and play? No, not until you've done your homework. Proverbs 18:15 says, an intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. That is to say, there is simple work that we need to do in whatever decision we're looking at, that we have to research it ourselves. We have to think through the situation. The Christian, in discerning not only what is pleasing to God, but making the best decisions in life, he or she needs to do their homework. And it doesn't always mean Dr. Google, right? The intelligent heart gathers knowledge, as Proverbs says, helpful information to inform us so that we're making the wisest decision regarding a matter. This can include working hard to gathering biblical information from Scripture, but also just common, maybe we call it worldly information and research. This is old-fashioned research, which means hard work. Do I purchase a home? Do I not purchase a home? If so, which home do I purchase? I know the book of Philemon doesn't tell you what home to purchase or whether you should purchase a home or not. Is it okay to have a loan? Can I get in debt? Is that a biblical idea? There's some biblical help there with some of those principles, but in the end, you need to make a decision on some of these specifics in life. God does expect us to pray and ask for wisdom and direction, but praying for it does not negate doing the hard work of our own homework and gathering helpful information so that we make a good, wise decision. We are responsible to pray, but we're also to be responsible to apply critical thinking and problem solving and determining what we think is the best course of action. Proverbs 18:13. If one gives an answer, or the idea here is form a conclusion or a judgment, before he hears, it is his folly and shame. We can do this with people, of course. We can form a judgment very quickly about someone before we hear their side of the story. But we can do this in life. We can move quickly through decisions and not do our homework. Don't make quick, hasty decisions about important matters. Listen. Gather information. Back as we talked about, seek godly counsel. Put effort into determining how you're going to accomplish this. What are the obstacles you face? I mean, Jesus uses this concept to talk to the curious crowds that followed him. There was probably thousands of people that would eventually follow Jesus, but they weren't true disciples. He says in Luke 14:28, "For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it?" Wisdom would say, make sure if you start a project, you can complete it. I have a lot of unfinished projects in my life, and maybe you have some of them in your life as well. Do you have the time? Do you have the resources? We need to do this in our own life. This is what wisdom does. It's careful thought to your life. Proverbs 21, verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. The plans of the diligent. There's that word diligent. We have to be diligent, disciplined, thoughtful. We have to use the minds that God has given us. Or Proverbs 14:15, the wise man or the prudent gives thought to his steps. We have to use the mind that our Creator has given us, as we read in Psalm 139, the one who formed us in our mother's womb. He's given us the capacity and the responsibility to think carefully and critically. So maybe in a sense what I'm telling you is the Christian has to put away laziness. We have to put away maybe even the passive approach of I'm just going to pray about it and then I'm going to wait for the Lord to do something. You have to find a job. I remember one brother telling another brother, you have to make it your full-time job to find a full-time job. And you can't just pray and expect someone to knock on your front door giving you a job offer. There's work involved in order to find one. And that's really the expectation the Lord has for us. We must do the hard work of homework. Maybe that's why Mom insisted we complete our homework before we went outside and played. We need to seek to discern the best path, the wisest path, the path that honors the Lord, and also the path that benefits those in our life and those around us as well. Even as we do our homework, it's not only about us, is it? It's about glorifying God in our decisions. It's about benefiting our neighbor and our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a simple principle, but it's one that we probably have to remind ourselves of quite often. There's no replacement for carefulness, critical thinking, and old-fashioned hard work. So friends, use the mind the Lord has given you. Let me give you a seventh direction. And this one can be painful. And that is, number seven, examine your heart. Examine your heart. Addressing there the issue of your desires and your motives in your decision-making. This is a sensitive area. It's painful. This gets to the motivations of the heart. Why do you want to do this or that? What is motivating you to have this or to go there or to commit to this in your life or to have a relationship with this particular person or to get married to this person? Why? That's why is an uncomfortable question. It's a good question. It exposes a lot of the heart. This is the principle of self-examination, and we could probably put the conscience under this category as well, but I wanted to separate this to examine the why behind our plans and our decisions, our commitments in life. It's kind of like you interview yourself. You should, in a sense, interview the Bible. You should interview others, but you also should interview yourself. You should take time to examine your own heart. Why do I want to move forward in this particular area? And that could be a hard thing to do. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. And I've said this verse before because I think it's so helpful and so powerful. Proverbs 14, 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. That should really cause us to slow down and to examine not just the decisions we're making, to examine our own self, to examine our own hearts. He actually repeats this in Proverbs 16:25. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Maybe there's a reason it's repeated in Proverbs. There are some Proverbs that are repeated twice, and this is one of them. Something we should remind ourselves. Or Proverbs 14, verse 15. The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 2. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Very interesting verse, isn't it? All the ways of a man appear in his own eyes. Man's tendency is to believe that he's right, that he sees things rightly, that he sees things clearly. That's what we're prone to do with ourselves, to think highly of our own perspective. So we have to guard our hearts because our hearts can be deceitful. We can so easily think we are right. This is why sometimes it's hard, not only having the Word, which is correcting us, but having other people in our life who are correcting us. because we may not be seeing things clearly. We need to check our hearts, very much like Psalm 139 as we looked at this morning. Psalm 139, verse 23, what does the psalmist pray at the end? Search me, O God. It'd be a dangerous prayer, isn't it? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Not because God doesn't know. Remember, he knows everything in the Psalm 139. He knows everything and he's everywhere. But he needs to know his own heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any way in me that is not pleasant to you. I don't see these things, Lord. I need your help, and then lead me in the right way. It's a great prayer to pray. Sometimes we struggle with praying. Or maybe we pray in our own words and we don't last more than 5 minutes. So I can encourage you, pray prayers of the Bible. And here's a prayer you can pray right here, Psalm 139, 23, and 24. Search me, O Lord. But here's a way you can do this in interviewing yourself. Ask yourself some of these practical questions. I got some of these questions from a pastor, Jerry Ragg, in Florida, in Jupiter, Florida. I told my son a couple years ago I went to Jupiter. He was really excited about that. But it wasn't that far. It was in Florida. But here's some great questions Jerry Ragg asked. Will it be a spiritual advantage in my life? Will it be of a spiritual advantage to me? I mean, maybe right there we're going to stop moving forward in some areas. Will it potentially be enslaving? Maybe it's permissible. Maybe it's good. Maybe others are doing it. But what about for me? Will it enslave me? Will I be consumed by it? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. Now, the Corinthians had a slogan, all things are lawful. That's what they were saying a lot. Oh, yeah, all things are lawful. I have liberty as a Christian. I can do all things. All things are lawful for me. But, Paul says, not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but Paul says, I will not be enslaved by anything. And friends, I think this is often where life comes down to. The kind of gray areas. Do I do this? Do I not? Do I commit to this? Do I not? In the whole world of recreation, is this something I can participate in it or not? Well, will it potentially enslave me and consume me? Or maybe you don't know, but in time as you are participating in something, you realize this has too much of my heart and I need to back off from it. Maybe I need to get rid of it altogether until I really can handle it in a self-controlled way. Many things in this world might be permissible, but we cannot allow anything to enslave us or allow ourselves to be enslaved to something, even if it's good and permissible. We can have a possession, but the possession cannot have us. So will making this decision be of a spiritual advantage to me, or will it potentially enslave me and consume me? Will it steal my heart away from the Lord Jesus? You know, we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's a battle to maintain that, isn't it? It's a battle because there's so many other things that might distract us. Here's another question. Will it slow me down with excess baggage in the Christian race? We're running the Christian race, as was said. Lord, help us to run. But, you know, if you've run, you're probably not running right now in the summer heat. But if you are a runner and you've run before, you don't want to wear a backpack full of canned goods, you know, as we were. If you want to donate canned goods, not something to run in. Extra weight. Hebrews writer in Hebrews 12:1 says, to lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely and run the race that is set before us. So there, obviously, we are to put away sin, but there are things in our life that are just holding us down. They're not wrong in themselves, but they hinder us from running the Christian race. And again, much of life is going to be wrestling with this area, wrestling with the weights of life that trip us up or weigh us down, and they entangle our thoughts and our affections, our time. They prevent us from living all out for the Lord. So those are some questions you can ask yourself. Here's another one. Will it build others up? Will it build others in my life up? Will it help others? Again, the tendency is, especially in the whole topic of productivity, being purposeful in your life and organizing your life is just to focus upon yourself and your own world. But your life is full of relationships, and maybe, again, you can do something, but is this going to help and benefit others? Or will it make me even more selfish and self-centered? Or will it hinder others in the Christian race? Here's another couple of questions. Is it exemplary? Are others willing to follow your lead in this, to follow your example? Maybe you can do this, but if others knew, would they follow your lead? Or a final question, will it lead others to Christ or away from Christ? Check your heart. Ask God to show you your heart. Examine your reasons and motives as you seek to honor the Lord in decision making. And this brings us to the final two principles, which really go hand in hand. The eighth principle, and this principle is one you do or you apply in faith, is this, number eight, trust the sovereign grace of God. Yes, this is something you have to do. It maybe not doesn't seem evident on your task list. I understand seeking counsel, looking at what the Word of God says. But trust is important. Trusting that God is at work in the midst of your decisions. We've looked at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 a few times already. We're not to lean on our own understanding. That's one of those principles that keeps coming up. But we're to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. And that's a battle in of itself, to trust that God is presently, currently at work. We should regularly and wholeheartedly acknowledge, both to the Lord and to ourselves, that God is the one in control, that he is still working out his perfect plan. We have good news this last Friday. But even if there was bad news on Friday, God is still in control. God is still working out his plan. And it's a perfectly good plan. And he's the one with supreme infinite wisdom. He knows not only the best ends, but he knows the best means to the best ends. And he's working out his plan. He's doing so in the midst of all of our decisions. Isn't that comforting? Doesn't that give you some peace? Especially when you're facing a hard decision. We must do our part, as I've unfolded, but at the same time, embrace the comforting reality that God has a plan that he's carrying out each and every day. We cannot know his decreed of will. We cannot know the hidden, mysterious plan of God. Maybe we'll understand more of that when we are with Christ. Maybe he will unfold more of that. I don't think we'll ever comprehend all of it because God is infinite. But we are not to try to discover that. We're not to know the decreed of will. Even if he showed us, we wouldn't be able to comprehend all of it. But we are to understand what he's revealed to us. And frankly, sometimes we make either sinful or poor decisions because we're not trusting the Lord. Right? How many times have we made poor decisions in life because we've been worrying? Because we've been afraid and we haven't been trusting the Lord that he's still in control? So even trusting God can have helpful results in your life when it comes to making decisions. Realize as you do your part from studying God's word to your own homework to seeking the Lord's word and seeking counsel that God is still working his purposes in and through your decisions, whether good or bad. God is still at work. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And verse 8, seems very similar theme with Psalm 139. Isaiah 55, verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." That's really good news, isn't it? I'm really glad the Lord's thoughts are far higher than my thoughts, because my thoughts really don't go that high. But they are quite superior. God's way of thinking and doing and planning in wisdom is infinitely superior to ours. Our job is not to discern his hidden higher than our ways, to discern these secret plans that the Lord has. Deuteronomy 29:29 tells us this: the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. What are the things revealed to us according to Deuteronomy 29:29? All the things in his law. Those are the things that we need to understand and apply. The secret things, they belong to the Lord. Don't try to discern his hidden decree of will. Discern his revealed will in his word. Do that and trust providence. Maybe the most simple thing I can say in this entire series is, do what God has said in his word and don't worry about anything else. Trust that he's at work, that providentially he is unfolding his plan, even though we don't know what that might be. Do his revealed will and don't worry about his hidden will. Stuart Scott says, if we make a decision based on biblical commands and principles alone, we can fully trust that we are pleasing God in our decision and fully trust that he will providentially, by circumstances out of our control, change our choice if it is not within his decreed will. Right? Maybe we worry here, what if I get outside the decreed plan of God? You won't. You are always in that plan. Even the things that seem not only out of your control, but we sometimes like to say our chance, right? Wow, I'm lucky that car didn't hit me. Proverbs 16:3, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Interesting, when you study Hebrew, there's no such thing in the Hebrew language as luck and chance. There's no concept there. Even those things that seem to happen by chance, they're all from the Lord. They're part of his plan. So we can take great comfort as a Christian knowing this, knowing there's a peace that we can have, knowing that the Lord continues to work out his perfect plan. Yes, often it will be contrary to what we think is best or the way that we think it should go. Proverbs 16:4. Proverbs 16:4 says, the Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. Wow, he's even sovereign over evil. That doesn't mean that God is evil. He doesn't tempt, as James says in James 1, but he's still in ultimate control. You know, I often think about Satan himself, still after thousands of years seeking to dishonor the Lord, to take over the throne, to ruin the work and plan of God. You think at some point he'd finally get it and go, you know what, this isn't working. I'm wasting my time. And Satan continues to fight against God. And yet, Satan will only ultimately carry out the plan of God. That's good to know that Satan is not sovereign, only God is. Remember, even the fish that swallowed Jonah served as a free taxi for the prophet to get to Nineveh. It says there in Jonah 1:17, the fish was appointed by the Lord. So was the worm, by the way, in the last chapter. Trust the sovereign grace of God. I remember a professor many years ago who was dying of cancer. He gave his last sermon, which was pretty powerful, 10 things that he had learned in life. It's one that it was so quiet, everybody listened carefully. And I'll never forget his first point was, trust the sovereign grace of God in your life. things are going contrary to your will, they're not working out as you think they should work out, as you'd want them to, but God is not only in control and sovereign, he's gracious, he's good, and he's working out his plan. We need to trust him. Let me give you the final one, number 9. For you, this may be the hardest one. Are you ready for number 9? Make a decision. This is often the hardest one for me. If God is sovereign, and he is, and you've sought to honor the word, you've examined your heart, your conscience, maybe you've sought godly counsel in your life, you've prayed about it, friends, at some point you have to make a decision. And make a decision knowing the path you take or the open door that you're choosing to walk through is still under his gracious and sovereign protection and provision. There are 95 peanut butters at the grocery store. You have to pick one. There are 3 career paths you're looking at. Pick one. Don't fall into analysis paralysis, or as I've often been guilty of, I seek counsel from others, but I don't ever stop seeking counsel from others. I need to seek one more person's counsel, as my wife would remind you, but you need to make a decision at some point. True. What if I make the wrong decision, right? There's a comic I saw recently of business people sitting around a conference table. Caption read, "Of course we'll make a decision once we have considered the 5,243 factors." And that's kind of true in your life, isn't it? You're just not ready yet. There's just one more thing. I feel like there's one more thing I need to figure out. Or as Kevin DeYoung tells of a report he read with the subject line, "Man 91 dies waiting for will of God." This is in Tupelo, Mississippi. Walter Houston, described by family members as a devoted Christian, died Monday after waiting 70 years for God to give him clear direction about what to do with his life. He hung around the house and prayed a lot, but just never got that confirmation, his wife Ruby says. Sometimes he thought he heard God's voice, but then he wouldn't be sure and he'd start the process all over again. Houston, she says, never really figured out what his life was about, but felt content to pray continuously about what he might do for the Lord. Whenever he was about to take action, he would pull back, because he didn't want to disappoint God or go against him in any way, Ruby says. He was very sensitive to always remaining in God's will. That was primary to him. Friends say they liked Walter, though he seemed not to capitalize on his talents. Walter had a number of skills he never got around to using, says longtime friend Timothy Burns. He worked very well with wood and had a storyteller side to him too. I always told him, take a risk. Try something new if you're not happy, but he was too afraid of letting the Lord down. Well, the principle is simple, isn't it? Trust the Lord and make a decision. Don't wait for the writing on the wall. That's a bad thing, by the way, in the Old Testament. Or for talking donkeys to provide a kind of confirmation that you're in the will of God. Apply God's word. Do what he says and trust him and his providence. You ask, but what if I make a mistake? Well, you will make mistakes. God uses those for many purposes. John Newton said, "We serve a gracious master who knows how to overrule even our mistakes to his glory and to our own advantage." Wow, that's good news for the Christian. We cannot afford to do nothing as a Christian. We must make decisions in this world for God's glory, for the good of others, for the sake of the gospel and his church, all the while knowing God is in control, and this should free us to make decisions. It should give us peace in our hearts to move forward. Charles Bridges says, "So truly do we find our happiness and security in yielding up our will to our heavenly guide. He knows the whole way, every step of the way, the end from the beginning." So trust the Lord and make a decision. Let me close with Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. Proverbs 16:9 tells us, "The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." That's good news, isn't it? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we serve a God that's never surprised. Lord, you know all things. You have the best plan. We don't know how many plans there could be. But in your infinite wisdom, your perfect goodness, you have the very best plan for each of us. Lord, even the death of your own son, the greatest evil that's ever been committed to crucify your son, brought about the greatest good. Lord, the gospel itself tells us that you can and that you do work all things for good. He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not along with him freely give us all things? What a promise, Lord, we have. Lord, would you help us to apply our minds and our hearts to work hard, to search your word, to be teachable and humble, to ask for your help, and to trust in you. We pray in your name. Amen.